Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
Same principle of change is functioning in the room. I mean, this time was moving by at the same rate for all of us. Some people can feel the seat through the bones where they're sitting. Others, you weren't aware you're on a chair. Very few have paid attention to the seat hitting the back of their back and how that feels. But now that I mentioned to you where how your attention went there, that attention that moved there and back again is the attitude. And it's under your control. Holy jeepers. You mean attitude is under my control? Yes, then I'll be happy all the time. Great, what happens at times you're not happy? I'll just declare I'm happy. Well, really, that's really all we're doing anyway. Because energy follows thought. It's no new thing. This microphone I'm talking through, one time was just a thought. Now it's condensed energy. It's functioning a certain way. If we can conceive it, now there's two ways I can take this. Given that we all lie, we can deceive it. Given that we're going to try to be more and more honest with ourselves, if we conceive it, we can reproduce it. Reproduce it, meaning we've already got it produced in our thinking and our feelings, and so we're going to reproduce it out there. We can do that. You know, it was recognized in the Bible. Now, we have some Bible scholars in here. So what I'd like you to do is just check my information. Don't check if I do it word for word, because I don't do anything word for word, not even repeat myself. I've always got something else in there. People go, oh, you're inconsistent. I go, oh, you've been listening. That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Of course, I think they would like me just to repeat it so they could go to sleep. There's benefits in that. Sometimes we get more out of a good night's sleep than we do out of a good lecture anyway. I think it was right after the flood in the Old Testament. They decided, I think it was under the kingdom of Nimrod. They're all going, was it? Well, I saw, maybe I just made that up. But a group of these people got together. Now that we can agree on. And they said, let's build a tower to the heavens so in case it rains again, we'll have a way out. Now, fundamentally, that's an error in structure because the kingdom of heaven is within. So it was the basic premise was doomed. So they start building the tower. Now, one of the producers and directors of Hollywood made it circular. I would have put elevators in it, at least escalators. I mean, why walk to heaven? Of course, if it's flooding, I can understand the ramps. I mean, floods may short-circuit the electricity that lifts the elevator. See, all of a sudden now we get into complications of thought. Now we know why they had a ramp. No electricity. But they'd still get up there. And there God is up in heaven. God talked to himself an awful lot, you know. Well, you know, all the faiths say there is only one God and Allah is his name, and there is no God but God, and I am the one and only in the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But in between, there was the rest of the alphabet. So we just knew he started and was going to end up with it. They said, you know, these people, once they decide to do something, they can do it. It won't be too long till they're going to have a tower into heaven. And we're going to have problems on our hands. We're going to have a lot of problems on our hands because these people are just an experiment. Now, you know it's got to be an experiment because if it was perfected, there wouldn't be the mistakes. So they said, well, I tell you what we'll do. We'd better do something real fast. What we'll do is we'll confound the languages and they'll all be scattered and the tower will no longer be built and we'll be safe being God. We won't be found out that we're not God. And so they did that. Somebody said that's where the word Babel came from. I bought that. I didn't know where else it came from. I've heard somebody say, just Babylon, and I always think of the Tower of Babel and my Sunday school teacher telling me all about that. And the only question that amazed me is they didn't do Esperanto in the dispersing of the tongues because that's a made-up language. Then I realized maybe this Tower of Babel is still going on all around us all the time anyway, and we're just still trying to communicate. I have people that work with me, and I work with them, and I still go, what are you saying? They might just well go, ooga booga looga doo boo doo joo doo boo ba ba yeah. And then I say, somebody translate that for me. If they do, we got speaking in tongues. If they don't translate for me, we just got babble. And I say, that's just fine. Just enjoy yourself. And I go do something worthwhile. I fall over and cut myself up. It's as a that's going to give you something to do than to listen to somebody just babble. It doesn't work. Except for one thing. What do we do most of the time? We just babble about things. It is extremely rare that we hear, I'm not going to use the word original thinking in the terms of it was never thought before, but original thinking means it's the first time that person's thought of it. And it's rare to hear original thinking. And original thinking, when it is being shared, has been said to be as orgasmic as having sex. And they like it better because it can go on for a longer period of time. And you don't roll over and go to sleep. Nor do you stop and have a cigarette or go home early. That there is a communication going on. There's another underlying principle that is not as dynamic as change that is functioning here on the planet. This one's really difficult to get. It's extremely difficult. It's difficult to describe. It's difficult to work. But we get worked out on it every day consciously by someone. And it's called relationships. We're constantly involved in relating with something or someone else or with information. It's going on constantly. But when we're relating with someone, we try to suspend change. Have you ever noticed that? You're not as much fun as you were when we first got married 15 years ago. It's like I'm older. 15 years, I've been changing. I got wise to you and I've changed. You're not like you were 2 weeks ago. What's up? I'm older now. That was a crisis I was in. I went past that. You're not, and so our reference point is always being shoved back into the past to bring the perfection to the occurrence right now. And it can't be a perfection because it's memory. Do you understand? It can't be a perfection. The perfection is change. And so as soon as we love someone and we allow that love to flow freely, instead of holding that feeling like you're going to hold the smell of a flower. Have you ever seen people smell flowers? Do they just sit there with the flower in their nose all day? No, because it won't be too long until they can't smell the flower. They get saturated. They get an overload on that sensory input device. So they move the flower away to give it a chance to change, to update. Then they go back again. But we've been taught through the principles, meaning the head people on the planet, that memory is intelligence. And memory is not intelligence. Memory is repetition of information. What you do with it is whether you're intelligent or not. And if you hear on television or you read in the newspaper something that somebody supposedly said or did or didn't do, and they're accused of it, there's this inclination in us, because we're taught, not necessarily overtly but covertly, that if it's written, it's real. If it's photographed, it's true. If somebody was an eyewitness, how could they possibly be wrong? Well, when I used to do investigative work, and there'd be an accident, would say, anybody see the accident? People raise their hand, and you start taking statements from them. And by the time you get through seven people, you don't know, that accident could not have happened. They describe something that couldn't be there. I'm sorry. You listen to it all, you go, how do I write this report? This did not take place, and two are dead. And seven saw it. Well, I understand that if you're on one side of the street, you see it a little different than the other side of the street. But when you get three people standing in the same place, and they're all complimenting each other's story, except for minor diversions that are major in their application, then you're getting to the point where you realize, when I say it's an ink blot world, that there's a lot of truth in that. But it doesn't matter if it's an ink blot world if what you're doing with your life is based upon your growth, your perception, your upliftment, and people are glad you're in their life. When people say, I'm glad I know you, I'm glad you're here, I'm glad, it doesn't matter what they've been doing. Not really. Because every one of us dirty diapers at some point. If we're going to run any of the past on right now, then you got to go back to the very beginning of it, this life, and run all the dirty stuff in with everything else. Chances are, it's a real big chance, that if we were to do the pluses and the minuses, the goods and the bads, we would have a great big column of bads about our life and a very small column of goods. Should I tell you why? You already know, but just so it's official, there's another underlying principle on the planet. First one we said was change, right? This is for you people that are forgetting. The other was relationships. Jeez, I forgot the third one. I wonder if there's something over there that makes your mind go blank. Yeah. There's something about writing on this that makes your mind go blank. So, what was I talking about? You were listening. Okay. Well, but I didn't do the feedback, but... There's another principle that applies to us on the planet. And it's one that we really don't want to own up to. Because mistakes are valued the wrong way. I know every one of you learned to spell all the words with ever, without ever making a spelling error. And you learned all the 12 times tables the first time through effortlessly. And you raised your children perfectly. That's why we got so much trouble on the planet. We were raised perfectly and not allowed to be raised with mistakes. Now, it's quite contrary to popular thinking, but I've never made a mistake. I mean, I never started out to say, this will be a mistake, and then did it, and then sure enough, it was a mistake. No, I've never done it. I said, this will be good. Let's do this. Or, well, I'm not sure how that'll turn out. Let's give it a try. We'll see how it turns out. Then someplace out there, some goony goop gets a hold of it and changes it and makes it a mistake. But that wasn't mine. They did it. You might say, well, what about the ones that came to you and it came to you and then you made a mistake? Yes. I assisted other people in their mistakes, but I never made any of my own. I always had somebody out there horsing around with it. Even when I was going to cheat on a test, the teacher didn't give the test that day. It was a mistake to prepare to cheat. But it wasn't a mistake that had a great value on it. It would have been a mistake to cheat and get caught. Oh, you don't think people cheat? That's a principle. That is one of the principles. They wrote a song called "Your Cheating Heart." Well, what am I saying when I say cheating? If you don't follow the rules precisely as they are and you bend them for any reason at all, for an advantage, you've cheated. Right? But let's just say that that will be the idea, and then we can put that we sometimes got more money back when somebody changed us money at a counter for something. We got back a penny or two, and we didn't say anything. We walked out with it. And if it was $20, we ran out with it. Before they got a chance to say, I overpaid you, we go, oh, I didn't know that. We know you lie, so we know you knew it. How many of you here have cheated on something or another? My hand's up too. I want you to understand that these things go on. And regardless of all of those terrible, devious, damnable behaviors, God loves us just like we are. Wow, isn't that remarkable? Just, he says, you don't have to change a thing. I'll take you just like you are. And of course, my cheeky answer is, you have to because you're the one that made it like this. You're just reaping what you sowed. It's not our fault. We came down here and did the best we could to make all these things. Well, whenever we've been speeding over the speed limit, don't we watch in the rearview mirror for the policeman? Don't we watch for radar cars down the road? Don't we watch for the little airplane painted in the middle of the road and then another one, and they say, you're being clocked by airplane in the sky? We go, that is not fair. Why isn't it fair? Just go the speed limit. No. No, I am not going to just go the speed limit. I sometimes don't leave on time. If you'd quit lying and tell the truth, you could get out of place sooner. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. If you tell them you don't want to hurt their feelings, you got to leave now or you'll get to have to speed and you'll be late. They might appreciate the truth from you. Have you ever realized that things change in this world and time is changing around you, so you set your clock and it goes off? One of the most marvelous inventions that I saw recently, I didn't more or less see it as much as I heard it, a fellow's pager went off in a meeting I was in. We all know that if you hear the little beeper go off, the person has to go to the phone. How many of you don't understand that? I mean, there may be an emergency. There could be an earthquake in California. All the cars go off. All the burglar alarm devices on cars go off, and all the garage doors start opening and closing. Water sloshes out of the pool. Your beeper's bound to go off when there's an emergency. And I found out the person had the beeper, and he just clicked it, and then he had it set. In 10 minutes, the thing went off by itself when his hands were up where everybody could see it. And he immediately reached down to shut it off to draw everybody's attention to the fact that it was his beeper. First, you must get their information accurate. It is my beeper, not his. Then the person left to make the phone call. And you know if they don't come back, it was an extreme emergency, and so you go on without them, which is precisely what they want you to do. Is that cheating, or is that going with change? Or is that having an effective relationship with the rest of the group? Or did it get you out of there so your mistake wasn't found out? Whatever it was, it worked. And I ran into the person, and I said, what was the emergency about? So it was an emergency. I got this little, and he showed it to me. I said, son of a gun. And then he worked it for me. And I said, where'd you get that? You know what he told me? I distribute them. No, I didn't get one. I just tell people, I got to go now. I'm sorry. And I just get them walk out. You know? If they don't know me by now, you know, I don't do anything to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just doing things to maintain my balance. That's very simple. If you do things to maintain your balance, you're not going to hurt my feelings because I want you to take care of yourself. I really do, because I don't want to have to do it for you. You know, when I'm lazy, when I don't want to. I want other things. I want you to do yours. I want the freedom for me to do mine. I want you to do like God does. He loves me no matter what I do, and I want you to do the same thing. But I want you to do it to yourself the same way. And I want you to look at the thing called mistakes and realize those were just your experiences that didn't work out the way you thought they would when you conceived them in your mind. And you dismiss them and you say, I don't do that again. And you go on with your life. Is there anything else you can really do than that? No, you can beat that soup out of your mind and castigate yourself and pick on yourself, and it will not change what happened. Change changes it because it drops off by your tension and your attitude getting high. And you'd say, I learned, and the learning is a change of behavior, and the change of behavior is turning from what you did that doesn't work. The Bible says repent, turn from it, and set your sights and go that way. You won't find me blocking you. Because I know that you, like me, we're doing the best we can. And I can look back on 2 weeks ago and see where I could have done things better. Because I got 20/20 vision also. But I also got the wit to say, now that I know what that is, if it shows up again, I'll do it better. And if it doesn't, I'd better handle what I got now. Or that'll be in the mistake column by accident. Because I didn't deal with it. Instead of I did it wrong. See, wrong is just a word to give somebody an ego position. You're wrong, that makes me better. Look what you did to me, I'm a victim, that makes you better. And the victim yells bloody murder because they want to be better. But the principle here is keep changing, keep growing, keep lifting, because we have to do that anyway. And the struggle is, and the hurt is, when we attach onto that that's past and keep hanging onto it, and it's past. It's over, it's finished. We let it go, turn, and embrace the future, which is the presence. Right here. This moment is your future. Because out of it, out of what you do here, is going to come in the opportunities. And it comes in by what you're doing here and now. Sets up the way opportunities are coming in. So you can predict and prophesy your future with accuracy by watching how you behave right this moment. And if you're doing it with a loving, caring, sharing heart, God's going to take you more than just the way you are. He's going to put his power and energy through you to other people to let them wake up to the fact that he's taking them the way they are. Isn't it nice to know that's just in there? And isn't it nice to know that we all have atrocious behavior? And that we lie and we cheat and we make mistakes. And we're always in a relationship doing something to somebody or to ourselves. And all of that's just games that's played along the way to our awakening. We're going to awaken. We're going to do that. We're doing it all the time. In fact, in one of the seminars in the future, I think I'll do Steps to Enlightenment so people can understand what that is instead of the mystery that they've got in their mind. Beirush Beishan.
John Rogers' closing words were Beirush Beishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.